Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the value of divine truth in consciousness as a practical principle to be employed for effective living. Listen as we explain all human problems as the absence of divine truth in consciousness. In this show, we will discuss how the upper world of spirit and the lower world of sense become one when divine truth is the only consciousness. Aim for heaven and earth comes with it. Aim for earth and get neither, from C.S. Lewis. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live in the kingdom of heaven on earth. Swami, the title of today's show is Sense Void of Truth is Deception. Sounds like we got a lot of unboxing to do with that particular title. Let's get started.
Yeah, sense void of truth is deception because there's no truth in the mortal mind. What we call life isn't life at all. This is revolutionary thinking for today. I can't imagine what it was like 2,000 years ago. And yet maybe humanity was closer to the truth back then because people lived more in sync with the natural rhythms of the environment. Today we're more insulated from the elements of the outside world and more absorbed in a personal sense of comfort. I remember back in the 70s, we would say, lose your mind and come to your senses. And I think as a result, we became more indulgent. When the Beatles came back from India and sang about peace and love, we understood it as drug-induced states and promiscuous behavior instead of what it was really intended to mean. And collectively, we went in the wrong direction. We can't walk reason through the open door of revelation if we don't live a moral life because we're at the wrong level of consciousness. We're hypnotized and a helpless victim of the flesh, believing in a false sense of life. Out of the Father's house, a branch cut off from the vine. Without principle, life without principle, and thus deceptive, not intrinsically evil, but simply wrong. And to correct this mistake, we must disconnect thought from the influence of the material senses and make the mind an avenue of awareness for the truth.
So, Swami, I have a couple of questions. Can we go back to what you were talking about, and that is reason through the open door of revelation? I know we've been working a lot with that last couple of shows. Can you just review for us what is reason, what's the open door, and what is revelation?
Yeah, reason is the second stage in human development. In the process of human development, we go from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness. So reason is really the level of self-conscious awareness where we go from being pre-personal to personal. And from that level of earning a position of a personal sense of self, we are now qualified to walk reason through this open door of revelation, where we can now graduate to spiritual identity?
So my next question would be, let's get back to talking about this, making the mind an avenue of awareness for the truth. And as Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth?
Yeah, truth is the realization of the divine creation as the only reality. And I think to help us understand this truth, we'll look at chapter 8 in the book of John, where Jesus begins to tell humanity some of the differences between being a hypnotized human and the child of the divine truth. And for me, the difference is like the difference between a television and a computer. Both have a monitor, but the computer is interactive with a chance to learn how to make changes in what appears on the monitor. As a human, we either sow to the flesh or we sow to the mortal mind, which are two sides of the same coin. At this level, we can work with thought and belief to change finite bad to finite good. But we remain under the law of karma, with a belief in two powers, in the cycle of death and rebirth.
Swami, let's start with that first reading that we have from our notes for our listeners.
John 8, 23 to 27. I'll read it. Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. End of quote.
Swami, I love that verse because there's so much that we can dive into on it. One of the things that comes to my mind is I don't think the crowd that Jesus was talking to, they don't realize that he's talking about the Father in heaven, which is one thing.
Yeah, like you say, there's so much in this. The idea of die in your sins. For most of us, we think sin has something to do with human conduct. And it does on some level, because like we say, only reason walks through the open door of revelation. If we're not able to make our decisions based on the values that are in accordance with universal order, we're not ready to receive revelation. But sin is really when we believe what is appearing in our material senses is real. When we're reacting to the testimony of the senses, we're out of the Father's house. We're not conscious of the divine truth, which is the title. When sense is void of truth, it's deception.
Well, let's review what we mean by that word die. When he says, die in your sins, is he talking about a mortal death here?
Yeah, that's exactly it. To sow to the flesh is death. To sow to the spirit is eternal life. This is all stuff that I think we've missed, religion has missed. And part of it is because we're approaching our lives without the principle, without the truth. And what we know about the truth is really just academic and intellectual. It reminds me of the principle of mathematics. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. It's a law. Just like the rules of mathematics are a law. But for me to make a blanket statement, the principles of mathematics are perfect. Therefore, my checkbook is perfect. might not necessarily be true. So we must know the divine principle and then apply it. And the only way that we can apply this is by being consciously aware of it. And at some point, surrendering this false sense of self to the divine will. And we rise from being under the government of karmic law with a belief in two powers to living under divine law, which is the belief in the one, eternal, changeless, perfect state of being.
So you mentioned the phrase divine principle. Let's review that with our listeners. Are we talking that God is all?
Yeah, exactly. There is only one being, one life, and it's spiritual, invisible, and intangible. It's omnipresent. I am everywhere, always. And in order to be able to demonstrate this, we have to come out of the mind that is creating the false sense of existence. That's what we said in the beginning. You stop thinking, but you make your mind aware for the divine truth, the divine mind, which is running a perfect universe. But again, it's invisible to the corporeal senses. So you're looking for nothing. That which is invisible and intangible to your corporeal sense, and then in silence and in stillness, we watch, we wait, we listen, and we let divine truth reveal itself. This is what was called the Christ, the birth of Christ in consciousness. Christ is the saving aspect of truth, the Messiah. It's what makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness.
So let's continue with another reading that we have from the Bible.
John 8:28-32, I'll read it. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. End of quote.
So I'm just going to give some clarification in the very beginning of that verse. He says, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man. My first question is, what does he mean by lifted up? And can you explain the Son of Man?
Yeah, this idea of resurrected consciousness. Jesus is trying to explain that he is spirit. He is not mortal flesh. He is not what was called the son of a woman. But the idea of spiritual birth, being born again of man, was a way of saying that I am reborn of spirit. I am spirit. And in this spiritual identity, he's really saying that he's not separate from the Father, which is divine consciousness. I and the Father are one. See, oneness is the quality of spirit. Spirit is whole. It's complete. It can't be divided. And it is beyond the limitations of corporeal sense. It's not a divided consciousness anymore. Spirit works in the absolute, whereas the mortal mind works in contrast, in division.
And this is what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, right? When he was trying to say to Nicodemus that we must be born of the Spirit.
Right, exactly. That's why we say the book of John, these first 12 chapters, are laying out the process of coming out of the veiling conditions of the mortal mind. Again, this is why we say only reason walks through the open door of revelation. If you don't prepare yourself physically and mentally for this ascended consciousness, for this resurrected consciousness, then we're still working with the mind that can't bring forth the divine image.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So getting back to that last verse that you recited, let's talk more about the very last line, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Yeah, and this is what we're saying, how we've missed the message of the Christ. The truth is, life is perfect. We're living in the wrong self. And knowing this truth makes us free from the belief that we are a finite mortal being with an expiration date. But if we don't know the truth, then we live in this deceptive state. We believe we're growing old. We believe we're dying. We believe in matter. Collectively, you can see why we're struggling, because we're basically trying to figure out how the unreal became real. And Jesus is trying to tell us we're living in the wrong self.
I like what he says, "The Father hath not left me alone." It makes me think we are not separate from God, that he is always with us, and we seem to live our lives in this sense of two-ness, believing in something other than God.
Right, because we believe in the testimony of the 5 material senses. And this is what we're saying. We don't have the influence of spiritual truth in order to give us this principle. And then graduating from a belief in the divine creation into faith, where it begins to have a profound effect on what is appearing in the material senses, until we eventually get to understanding, where we're able to demonstrate the omnipresence of the divine creative principle with scientific certainty.
So let's continue with the next verse from John.
John 8:33-40. I'll read it. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham? End of quote.
It sounds like Jesus here is really giving them some instruction and telling them not to live in this sin, to believe in something other than God, and that will make you free. But they seem to be so intent on believing what they believe that they can't see past that.
Yeah, and even a lot of the symbolism in the Bible where he says, but the Son abideth ever, that Son is capitalized. They're really talking about the Christ. And then if the Son therefore shall make you free, in accepting spiritual identity, in accepting I am the child, the reflection of the divine creative principle, is really where we find this freedom from the belief in the ever-ending, never-ending cycle of death and rebirth, which is driven on a belief in two powers. But we also have to realize just declaring we are all children of God doesn't bring you this liberation, this freedom that we're talking about. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. It's a law. And we must be conscious of it. And thinking about it is not the same as being conscious of divine truth.
I think that's what he means by when he says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So I just think it's really interesting that these people have become so far removed from what Abraham was teaching them.
Even in the Bible where James says faith without works is dead, we really have to know this truth, and thinking about it is not the same as knowing, because we can't know the truth with the mortal mind. And so there's this transformation that must take place in consciousness where we graduate and separate from the influence of the material senses, and now we're getting our information from the absolute, the divine word, which is perfect, whole, complete, eternal, changeless.
So let's continue with the teachings of Jesus from John.
John 8:41-46. I'll read it. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. End of quote.
My first insight on this would be the people he's talking to understand they are from God, but they haven't taken it further than that level of understanding.
Yeah, this is what we talk about, the physics of spirituality, like attracts like. The idea of the mind, the body, being attuned to the divine idea, purification of the physical form and purification of the mortal mind are prerequisites before we can walk reason through the open door of revelation. This idea of talking about being spiritual And it's what Jesus says. If God were your father, you would love me. Like attracts like. We draw from the flesh, fear and limitation, and fear and limitation begets fear and limitation. In order for us to be born again of spirit, we must internalize the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence as your symbol for validation. We become addicted to what is invisible and intangible. This is very different than just trying to do this from the perspective of the mortal mind. That's why in Revelation, John talks about looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. We haven't really gone far enough with this truth. We don't have truth in consciousness yet.
Yeah, it seems like that's what he's saying here when he asks them, why do you not understand my speech? And would that be because they're just not at that level of consciousness to be able to understand, and they're just so blinded by their mortal beliefs?
Yeah, it's like we're caterpillars and we're reading books about the experiences of butterflies. And though the caterpillar has the potential to be a butterfly, until it goes through the chrysalis and it emerges with the wings, and it's able to navigate this other dimension of reality, it really doesn't know what it is these books about being a butterfly are all about. And the same with living your life from the understanding of being a mortal human being. You don't quite have a level of understanding of what it is to be the human in the adult state.
So we have to understand when we read the Bible, we could be reading it from that level of being a caterpillar. And what we really need to do is understand these works as butterflies.
And that's why it's so important to be able to demonstrate the principle, not just talk about it. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. It testifies with deeds, not words. And that's what Jesus did. He spoke with his miracles. He was trying to demonstrate the omnipresence of this divine truth and what it looks like when thought is influenced by spiritual fact.
We have one last verse from John. Would you like to read that for us?
John 8, 46 to 47. I'll read it. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. End of quote.
Interesting that Jesus is talking here. They think that he sinned when they don't even understand what the word sin is.
Yeah, it's important to understand that when he said this, it was shortly after that event with the adulteress. And when he's saying, which of you convinceth me of sin? Jesus has the mind of Christ. He cannot see that which is not divine truth. That would be incorrect judgment. To judge righteously in spirit is to see divine truth and only divine truth. Anything that doesn't have these divine qualities isn't real to you. If God didn't make it, it wasn't made. And therefore, deny anything that doesn't have divine qualities, and at the same time, we become a faithful witness to the divine truth. Life is perfect.
And as we know, truth dispels error.
Just like light dispels darkness.
Well, that's it for our show for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. Underneath the pages, if you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press to further your understanding. Swami, any thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and live in the kingdom of heaven on earth. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.